Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com as well. It would be nice if we could start the morning with any number of results from the weekend. And we'll certainly get into it soon enough. Very difficult to not first acknowledge the incredible and horrific destruction from the series of storms, tornadoes, western Kentucky and through middle America, and particularly the sites from Mayfield. We've seen storm damage before. I think everybody, woke up to the drone footage, and it just doesn't. You can't even describe what it appears. I can't imagine. I grew up in an area in the Northeast where, you had hurricanes and you had days advance notice to board things up and so forth. And having lived in Cincinnati and Kansas City in particular, you get aware of storm warnings and so forth. But at this time of year and in the area where these, the swath of it and the breadth of it is just it's so upsetting and just horrifying. We're going to talk later, I think, in hour three. Chauncey Morris, who everybody in and around the Bluegrass knows, Chauncey has already gotten, sadly, experienced raising money for disaster relief. And earlier in the year, when there was the flooding in southeastern Kentucky, raised a considerable amount of money for people that could not be assisted by federal disaster relief. And so Chauncey will detail the fundraiser that he's immediately organized. Carlo Vacareza, who is new to Lexington with Frank and Dino's, and he's organized a early January fundraiser at the restaurant. Carlo famous for this as well, and of course down in Boca and the long run at Deerfield Beach. But anything we can do, I've retweeted, there's so many different agencies that are rallying to support, and apparently the money will be helpful long term and for people to rebuild, but the immediate need is blood. So if you're anywhere in the region and are whether you're an experienced blood donor or not, that's that call from Governor Beshear's office, and we'll pass along. If there's anything anybody, I haven't reached out to Kentucky Downs people, but I imagine there's Kentucky Downs employees that have relatives and family that have been affected, and you pray that. Regarding the loss of life, the first time I clicked on that, the first whoever, I was up early on Saturday morning, and there's that drone footage where they are focused on Mayfield's, just the sign, and then pan out. And I don't think anybody could be prepared to see that. I mean, it's one thing to see, you know, one path of a, you know, an isolated tornado. And sometimes you see those that footage where there's, you know, one side of the street is, you know, is devastated, and the other side is fine. This, I mean, this was like out of Day After Tomorrow just incredible. So I have every expectation that there's you know, listeners who have family, friends, colleagues, etc., that have direct ties to this, and we'll learn more later from Chauncey, and I'll pass out anything anybody wants to send in terms of information and you know, collection. You know, the kind of things that everybody, you know, everybody does. I can't imagine, you know, it's going to be a terrible, I mean, Christmas, what's today? Today's the 13th. You know, you got Christmas in 12 days. So I had to start with that, and thoughts and support and strength and best wishes and etc. Anything we can do to help, we'll try to do. Turning to the racing action, and it was an eclectic kind of a weekend. You're kind of jumping around, starting on Friday, right? I mean, it's funny for a weekend that only had, you know, some miscellaneous kinds of action. I ended up looking at a lot of races, and it started on Friday, of course, with any number of horses that were returning, particularly when you talk about Nashville, who was upset. We'll get to that at Oaklawn. But Gulfstream's notable performances, Drain the Clock returning, and Fletcher utilizing allowance opportunity for my Prankster, the 2-year-old. He actually on that same card Friday brought out that Dean's List, who was quite good, the Spites Down. So that kind of started, kind of got things started, and then into the afternoon, it was the performance, though, of Hollis, the Street Sense gelding, the 6-year-old, that just exploded in that race against Nashville, set a new track record. 102 flat. John Ortiz sent out Hollis with Ricardo Santana Jr., and he just cruised by Nashville. So either Nashville needed that as a tightener to get you know, his 5-year-old campaign going, or there might be, you know, some evaluating to do, but uh, Hollis coming out. You know, he's certainly kept nice company. He always seems to be just a little short when it comes to steak competition. And he was coming in off a little freshening himself. This was some performance. Had a few interesting old favorites in here, including Mr. Jägermeister, who's also six and going to turn seven. Valerie Lund and Kristen Boyce's veteran, 12-time winner. He was third in here. And actually, I see home base. Home base, who's also six. This was a nice group. And in fact, you tally this up: 500,000, 1.7 million. No, one. Let's see, 1 million, 1 million 2, 1 million 5, 1 million 7. Just under 2 million. This is like almost 2.4 million in earnings with this group. This was a six pack. So that was Friday. Friday was a great way to wade into the weekend. And then of course Saturday, Louisiana Champions Day. Some notable performances there. And in fact, Dallas Stewart's going to join us. Dallas did win the juvenile with Unified Report, who looks nice, 80 Beyer. But Dallas, of course, also won the poinsettia at Oaklawn. Last Samurai, the Malibu Moon with John Court. Nice. So we'll talk to Dallas this hour and catch up with Dallas. That'll be good. Brian Hernandez Jr., aboard Unified Report. So, a couple of winners for Dallas. We'll get to a lot of the other Louisiana results, but Doug O'Neill in this hour, in about 7, 8, 9 minutes, we'll talk to Dallas about Dallas. We'll talk to Doug about Slowdown Andy's upset, minor upset. It wasn't that shocking. Ran good. Beat Messier, beat him on the square. And it was if you haven't seen it or if you saw it live, watch it again. It's interesting. And Los Al is so unusual with that stretch. You know, and the horses are, you know, wondering where the line is. They're like, wait a minute, shouldn't we have already crossed the finish line? And they get a little, you know, these 2 year olds and lightly raced, so they start to look around and wait a minute, why am I still running? So Slowdown Andy, Nyquist for the Reddams, and when you talk O'Neill and the Reddams, Mario Gutierrez. you can't have one without the other. Mario Gutierrez aboard. And Slowdown Andy, 85 Beyer here. And actually, Steve Anderson wrote a little piece, post-race piece. I'm sure when we talk to Sid this week and we look at this is a nice win for Nyquist. And, you know, this is obviously a homebred activity out of a square Eddie mare. And the mare, they are sending back to Kentucky to make a sibling of Slowdown Andy. So, like we talk with Sid very frequently about, you know, late season decisions. Well, there you go. There's a perfect, you know, perfect example. And so they're going to have to schlep the mare across country. They had, what was her name? Edwina E. She was modest. But, you know, Square Eddie is an interesting, he's an interesting sire in his own right. And it's a, you know, it's a nice mix. So it was a great piece by Steve. There's actually a lot in there, including the fact that Redham has 10 covers, 10 seasons to Nyquist annually as part of their deal. He, in fact, I've got the, I think I've got the Stallion handbook here with the number 55 standing for 55,000, which is kind of a funny, it's kind of a funny stud fee. But this was okay. This was a good performance, I thought, and no excuse, you know, no excuse for Messier. And in fact, when Slow Down Andy, you know, kind of got to acting a little silly, it kind of let Messier back in. But then, you know, Slow Down Andy reengaged. So we'll talk to Doug in a few minutes. And you know, for those that enjoy the idea of the Voice of the People Award, the Vox Populi, as it happens, Hot Rod Charlie happened to win that, and so I can let Doug thank the public for that distinction. The write-in campaign for Pink Lloyd fell short. The fact that Pink Lloyd wasn't included was a little weird. Kind of missing the opportunity to maybe, I don't know, maybe because he, well, it can't be because he's he was a horse campaigned outside the country, because Winx was a winner, right? Didn't she win that? So it's a well-intentioned thing, the Vox Populi. Speaking of international, by the way, Alan Carrasso is going to join us top of hour two. Mig tomorrow. Mig got tied up today, so we'll talk to him tomorrow instead. But Alan Carrasso, to recap what was an exciting but tragic HKIR yesterday morning. And Love's Only You, one of the highlights, along with Golden 60, and I suppose actually all three races other than the sprint were notable. The breakdown in the sprint was just awful. And we'll let Alan discuss it. And not to take away from the winner, because the winner was up front and you know, and certainly was an admirable enough performance. But this was rough. And you know, it kind of cast a pall over everything. The performance, though, of Love's Only You to yet again another horse winning a swan song, and the way she did it, really dramatic. I mean, her late kick. And, you know, more or less, I mean, will to win. Japan won two in there, actually. She out-muscled Hishi Iguazu at the wire. Now, Love's Only You, well, I don't want to say was the highlight, because Golden 60 is just unbelievable. I don't even know what you say anymore. He's won how many in a row? 16? It's crazy. It's just, there really was no sense in trying to beat him. And Glory Vaz won the Vaz. How about that? second time in 3 years. So we'll let Alan flesh out the storylines, all right, from the HKIR, all right? What else? We've got Doug O'Neill, Dallas Stewart, Alan Carrasso, Chauncey Morris, as mentioned, in Hour 3. Oh, McLean Hendricks later in the show as well. And this goes back, I mentioned it, we were at Arizona, and things were obviously plenty busy there. But McLean Hendricks, last week, early in the week, the Pennsylvania Nursery win by Witty, Carol Cedeno aboard, and his first career win, and only his sixth start as a trainer. So we'll talk to McLean Hendricks. Looking forward to that. Always always fun. Actually, there's a few other. I've got, there's been a number over the last 2 weeks of, I think two jocks that got their first wins. I got to get that in there. And speaking of bug riders and not so much breakthroughs, but just interesting or nice performance. Yesterday we were at Aqueduct. We had Shazando in the third and Kid Chocolate in the sixth. The racetrack didn't do us any favors. It was kind of a speed favoring track that made it tough on both of them. But certainly it's been a nice afternoon. It was a gorgeous day, absolutely gorgeous, and really kind of pleasant to visit Big A. Probably the last visit of the season. But one thing that happened in the first race, and Ailsa Morrison is a 10-pound bug that comes out of New Brunswick, out of the Maritimes, and has got a pronounced background in equestrian sports. And she did some riding at Woodbine over the summer. And she came a jump from winning that opener yesterday at Aqueduct at a nice price. I mean, the winner actually was a nice price herself. But it just happened that my eyes kind of trained. She was on a horse for Falcone. And I know you ain't talking to me. I just have to look it up. The filly came on the track, and she was really keyed up, and she spun backwards and went flying toward the rail backwards. And Morrison, just as they, you know, I thought they were going right over the rail. And just as she got to the rail, Morrison jumped off, and the outrider also was scurrying to try to calm the filly down. And I thought to myself, you know, this is going to be difficult. Morrison is very slight and really looks the part of a 10-pound bug. And then she gave a terrific ride and just missed at, like, I think 13 to 1, right? 13, 14 to 1? Let me see. I'm pretty sure I thought I had the charts. There it is. 11 to 1. The winner was 13 to 1. Grape Therapy, the Freud for Cantamarcy. But quite a few people, we were upstairs, Louis Lazanero. In fact, congratulations to Louis and Gary, who won with Exotic West. They won the seventh. But I know Louis was trying to get the Falcone home, the six.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, you had to be up on the front end yesterday for sure in New York. But I was impressed with her horsemanship, and you know, the fact that she was not bothered by the filly being a little edgy. So we're going to find out more about Elsa Morrison. Right now, we're going to find out more from Doug O'Neill about Slow Down Andy, including who the Andy is and why he has to slow down. The Los Al Futurity winner, Doug, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. Well, thanks for having me. And that was pretty darn fun, that's for sure.
Well, and you know, it's a Futurity. It's early in, you know, still early in the careers, and lightly raced, and little green. This was an interesting, you know, circumstance. Do you take us around?
Yeah, you know, he's a true Paul and Zilla Redham homebred.
Yeah,
you know, son of Nyquist out of a mare by Square Eddie, and he was broke by DeHaji Gladney and their crew, who helps at the Redham farm. So, yeah, it's just a really homegrown athlete. And, you know, it's funny. He's got a mind of an older horse. I know he looked green down the lane, but I think it's just more so, you know, he's just a lightly raced colt that's still trying to figure it out. But he's got a really mature mind that picks up things quickly, and he stays injury-free. I could see him going on a little bit of the Derby trail, and who knows?
Well, this is certainly a good way to end the two-year-old season. You know, I speculated when I mentioned you were going to visit and this win. You know, the configuration at Los Al, Doug, is a little unusual, and horses get, you know, mid-stretch there, and they got to be wondering, where's the wire?
Yeah. No, you're right. You know, Dr. Allred really saved the day when Hollywood Park went away and enlarged the track. And you know, is it ideal or it's maybe not, but it's unique. But it's nice. And they had a tremendous meet this current meet. And you're right. That long stretch, I think a lot of horses get about mid stretch and they want to switch back over to the left lead. I think anticipating a turn's coming, but and Andy, I think, was no different. I think he kind of threw him for a loop a little bit, but he straightened out and got it done.
Nice ride by Mario, and you know, we think back to Breeders' Cup weekend where he actually got beat as the 6-5 favorite in the Golden State Juvenile. I saw the quote. I saw the quote from Mr. Redham to Steve Anderson, where Mario kind of admitted that, you know, he kind of misjudged the situation in that Golden State juvenile. But otherwise, this was a, you know, this is a step forward, mid-80s buyer, and, you know, a good jumping off point for this one to mature. Talk a little bit about, you know, his physical type and, you know, where you think he's going to keep growing and what kind of a schedule you think would be helpful for him as you turn him into a three-year-old.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of an average made Colt, well-balanced, but, you know, he's not real tall, and he's not real muscular. He's actually even a tad feminine looking at times, but he's just very athletic, very competitive, and he just never has a bad day, this guy. I don't know whether he's galloping or working or racing. He just gives you everything he's got. And, you know, those horses are just, you feel really blessed to be connected with horses like him. And I'd be lying if I said I thought he was going to beat Messier, but at the same time, it doesn't shock me because he's 16 hands and Clydesdale built in his mind, and that's what it takes to win these big races. And yeah, slow down, Andy. He's a good one. Hopefully, he keeps moving forward.
You know, just looking at the family, and I mentioned I knew that the dam, based on that little piece that Steve Anderson did yesterday, that she was a modest type herself, and Ben Cecil had Edwina E, but you had her dam, Electric Days.
Yeah. No, it's Paul and Zilla. It's really a great situation training for them, because you get to, especially the ones that you really like, and Paul and Zilla really like, they keep them, and they you know, so you get to see their offspring, and she had ability. I don't think she raced very many times, but Paul and Zilla had the faith to keep her and breed her, and here we go. You know, we've got the fruits of that. So, but also hats off to Nyquist. He's got I'm still such a huge fan and biased, of course, but he's such a great stallion, and you know, little turf, dirt, long, short, whatever you want, and they come in different sizes and different colors, and just slow down, Andy. Here's a chestnut, average size colt by Nyquist, and a Grade Two winner.
Well, and
right,
I
Nyquist for sure.
Hey, well, and it's interesting because I pulled up Electric Days, and you're right. She won once, raced seven times. She actually broke her maiden at Fairplex. Under David Flores, and wow, and you know, talk about timely. It just so happens she was by Gilded Time, who just passed away. I haven't even had a chance to talk about that. Passed away, I think, Thursday.
Oh, wow. Got great.
Yeah, the news came out Thursday.
David Milch and
exactly. Exactly, the juvenile winner for Milch and for Daryl. Should reach out to Daryl. Wow.
Yeah. No, it's so the bloodlines are there, and just the heart and the determination, and just, you know, he's a natural athlete. So these are the kind that make you want to jump out of bed and get to the barn in the morning with horse like So Down Andy.
How do you foresee, you know, laying out 3-year-old season and campaign?
You know, knowing Paul, I would say we'll probably plan on the Sanita journey, but also knowing Paul, if there's an opportunity out of town, he wouldn't hesitate putting Andy on a plane. And the thing I enjoy about that is seeing how horses travel early on. It can be really helpful in trying to map out the ultimate goal of getting to the first Saturday in May if you're good enough and you stay injury free. So, but I haven't really talked. Paul and Zilla were, all of us were just so over the moon and so happily surprised, or maybe Paul wasn't that surprised, but the rest of us were kind of surprised, but that we didn't really talk much about what was next with them, but you know, I'm assuming it won't be any cowbred races. It's going to be open company and deeper water, and we'll see what we got.
Nice. Well, let's also catch up on a few others beside what transpired, and I suppose before we talk some other recent winners and some other stake performances, including last week in the Starlet. But Durante, what do you do with him coming out of this?
That's one of those who's got to get back to the locker room and figure out. We got to change some things up, and I think I erred probably in working him a little bit too fast. He's a horse that he's got talent. I think his mind just is going a little bit too fast. The game's going a little bit too fast for him. It's almost like you see that star high school player, and they start playing at UCLA, and everything's just going a little bit too fast to him for him. So I think he just needs to slow down and take a breath and relax. So that's on me a little bit. The fast workouts don't help horses like him. So I probably just need to slow him down, and get with the owners and put our heads together. But, talking to Umberto Rispoli, who's such a great horseman, after the race, he questions whether or not he can get two turns. But I think he can. Right now, I don't think he can with his mind. But if we just slow down a little bit on him and take it easy, I think he's going to be a nice three-year-old, and not sure where he'll – what his feeling is, but that was disappointing the other day, and I think through a different mindset of training, we can get him back going the right way.
Before we talk about a couple of other stake runners, Baffert had Doppelganger, who we're kind of looking, everybody was kind of watching for earlier on the card, and or it might have even been, was it the race before? You had Midnight Fury, and you moved him from the turf, where it was really a non-factor. This is a Connect colt out of a hard-spun mare. That was a really sneaky good performance, Doug, and Midnight Fury should go on some watch lists.
Good tab there, Steve. I agree. He's a horse that... he was probably about 90% ready down there at Del Mar, and that race came up. It was a grass race, so we figured, maybe we won't face a couple of these Baffert monsters that seem to surface and all the dirt maidens down there. And so on paper, it made sense to us, and everything made sense to us until they broke, and he just didn't care for the surface at all. I think it was Joe Bravo was on him that day, and he did a smart job of just wrapping up on him and not trying to beat him up to run eighth or ninth. So I came out of in great shape and got a little something out of that race, and then had a couple good works in between. And Kyle Frey worked him and rode him the other day, and he paneled himself like a expensive horse that he was. The owners paid a lot of money for him, and he ran it. I agree. A sneaky good second to another really nice prospect of Bob. So, we're very happy with him. And like you said, with his pedigree, he should have no problem getting two turns. And he's got the mind. He's got the body. He loves dirt. So, it's exciting to think of what he could jump up and be a good one.
Out of a dam by the name of Better Not Blink, and... I can see why you tried the grasp. Second dam was by Scat Daddy. I mean, there's hints of turf kind of spread around here, but absolutely a horse that had no business, running that well even at three quarters. Frankly, this one'll. Will stretch out. Midnight Fury, so mark that name down, and we'll watch for him at Santa Anita. Let me see, the one thing I did not check, Doug, I usually very frequently send you numbers, 72 buyer coming out of there.
Yeah, I think he ran a nine buyer in his debut, so he moved up significantly, and I definitely look forward to seeing him going a little bit farther at Santa Anita towards the first of the year.
Very nice. I mentioned some state players, including last week in the Starlet. Tonitos, third grade one placing. Nothing wrong with that.
No, she's a quality filly. And, to see what she's done already in her, only a few outs with the winning on the turf, sprinting and showing she can route on the dirt. You know, she's, you don't see fillies at this age be that versatile and that tough-minded. So, it's pretty exciting. If we can keep Tonito's injury-free and healthy and Fodon and injury-free and healthy, Team Redham, we're dreaming about the first Friday in May and the first Saturday in May could be fun.
She only got beat, less than a length, actually, behind Ada and Cairo Memories.
She ran lights out, and she might have been another one who was a little bit victim of that long stretch at the Low South. So, she really ran well, and there's nothing to hang our heads about on that effort. Everyone was very happy with it.
What else do we know about her? Give us a little background.
You know, Eric Johnson is in on her. That's
nice.
That's really cool. Yeah, and... she's just she's a very well balanced, athletic filly, daughter of Blaine, and she's got some speed, but she's also got a lot of stamina too. So she checks all the boxes of the type of athlete you want to have. So it's just a matter of once we start shipping her around, how she handles that, again, like the rest of them, just keeping her injury-free. But she's got a lot of upside for sure.
You know, and by all rights, she's another horse that you know, out of a street cry mare that figured to stretch out with a plum.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's credit to Paul and Eric, too, that they saw that as well, that in an ideal world, if she panned out, she would benefit with more ground, which is, you know, those are the races that we all want to be part of, the classic distance kind of races. And she's got the ability, and like you say, she definitely showed it last weekend in that race at Los Al.
Well, this is a major league female family. This goes back to Storm Beauty. Storm Beauty's third dam.
Wow. She's got a ton of class about her, and you could tell there's some royal bloodlines in there for sure.
Well, we talked about Durante the horse. What about Awake at Midnight, second in the Jimmy Durante closing week at Del Mar?
Yeah, no, that's another the daughter of Nyquist, who's she's another just. Wants to beat you. She's got a lot of natural ability. Another homebred of Paul and Zillis. Yeah. So, a lot of good stuff. We kind of went through a little bit of a icy period there mid-year maybe, but seems like it's picking up a little bit for Team Redham and Team O'Neill. So we're excited and grateful and looking forward to 2022.
Well, and Doug, that actually with a little bit of a break here before Santa Anita gives us an opportunity to congratulate the team involved with Hot Rod Charlie, recognized with the Vox Populi, which, you know, I think the concept was to try to find horses that the public latches onto, and he fit that bill. He also was a bit of a lightning rod for controversy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, he kept the Seward Thunder toes. That's for sure. And, we're very grateful for that award. And, he's a really cool horse, son of Oxbow, half to Matoli. He's got gate speed and stamina, and the owners, Craig Helm and Bill Strauss, and my nephew Patrick and his buddies. It's just been a fun ride, and we're hoping there's more chapters left to go in the Hot Rod Charlie book. And yeah, you're right. As I think back to some of his races, there's a lot of drama and some controversy. And but at the end of the day, super talented colt who, you know, I think still is kind of figuring it out. And there's still more ability there once he hopefully stays injury free as he mentally figures it all out.
Well, give us a timetable and the schedule going forward into the 4-year-old year.
You know, we've kind of got the Dubai World Cup the end of March circled as our dream goal at this point. And, you know, I've been blessed to have some experience of shipping horses over there, and they really have just state-of-the-art facilities over there. They take such great care of the horses and the horsemen. And so in that light, we were thinking about shipping him over in mid-January and maybe having the San Antonio on opening day here at Santa Anita be his next start, and kind of a work towards the Dubai World Cup. So that's kind of what we got on paper. And Charlie had a good work yesterday, and he's got a couple more works. One more work. I'm sorry, another work if all goes well. And if he pulls the San Antonio, that'll be the next start.
Are you considering sending any other horses over for the carnival in general? You've done that a couple of times.
We are. Yeah. We've got, I think like 8 to 10 that we've kind of got earmarked for,
wow,
carnival races. Yeah. Yeah. It's a wonderful opportunity and something that, you know, if you would ask me a few months ago, I didn't know if I had anything. Obviously we had Charlie, but anything else that seemed worthy of it. But we got a nice sprinter named Positivity that Chad Calvert, PTR Racing Stables, he's mentioned that he would love the opportunity for that. And actually, Paul Redham, Team Merchants, head over there and shoot for the Dubai mile dirt race. Yeah, and a handful of others. I can't think off the top of my head, but Strong Constitution, who ran the other day, he may head over there as well. So, you know, the plane, I think, leaves January 17th or 18th. So we're seeing who the Dubai Racing Committee invites. And whoever they invite, if the owners are willing, we're going to give it a run.
Nice. All right. Well, Doug, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you somewhat offbeat. Are you keeping tabs on the Frank conversations? You know, speaking of trips to Dubai, it made me think of our friends, Leray Visaggi and the team at Rockridge, and the Frank conversations are making their way forward. You expect to get some?
I would love to. I definitely got my eye out. Now, this is me being a little bit ignorant here and being in my own little world, but is this first crop, are they 2-year-olds?
They'll be 2-year-olds.
3-year-olds?
Two. They'll be two. He covered in what, 19, so the weanlings in 20, yearlings in 21, 2-year-olds in 22.
That's exciting. Yeah, no, he was just a rock star of an individual and great physique. I mean, he's got all the makings of a tremendous stallion. So, yeah, hopefully we'll see some of them in 2-year-old draining sales and we can buy a few. I would love to have some of his offspring for sure. He was a runner.
Doug O'Neill, everybody, and of course you follow Doug O'Neill one on Twitter, and there's been times when you've been active, but have you been less active of late? Have I not seen as much Doug O'Neill activity?
Probably less is more. You don't want to be over like six. Actually, that's Charlotte Sanders. He's a rock star. My assistant in the barn. She helps with so much of our daily activities and trying to share what we're so proud of in the locker room and what goes on in the barn area with people that care that might be interested and share along with us. So, yeah, I give Fur all the credit for anything that goes out there that is interesting. But, yeah, the pandemic is maybe even slowed Charlie down a bit. But no, we're still trying to keep people involved and share what's going on in our locker room and hopefully good things, good races, big races, and good human interest stories and good horse stories are lurking in our barn and something we can share.
Doug O'Neill, everybody. Doug O'Neill 1 on Twitter. And nice little break here. Chance for everybody to kind of refresh and get set for opening day 2 weeks from yesterday, 26th, at Santa Anita. And I'm sure, Doug, we will talk after the first of the year. So best wishes to everybody and the whole team. And, you know, merry, happy, and all the best for next year.
Thank you, Steve. We would thank you for your great job. We got you when I come back and forth from the barn to the from the track to the barn. We got you on the radio there in the barn. So keep up the great job. Love listening to all the cool people that you got on here and your opinions as well. So keep up the great work and have a happy New Year.
I appreciate it, Doug. Doug O'Neill, everybody. Doug O'Neill, racing.com too on. With the website. We're going to do this. We'll take a break here. Just heard from Dallas. Dallas has got a pushback. He's got some horses on the track. And so we'll get to Dallas after Alan Carrasso from TDN. We'll talk to Alan and get the HKIR mostly exciting recap and very, very difficult in terms of the sprint incident that really kind of left a damper on everything, but certainly Loves Only You leaves the stage gloriously, as it were, and talk about that and the rest of the card with Alan next, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in